Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Our passage for meditating on tonight is verses 44 through 49. Luke 23, 44 through 49. It was now about the sixth hour. Darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." And when all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what had taken place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Congregation of Christ, tonight's scripture contains the last of the seven words or sayings of Jesus from the cross. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Over the past two Lenten seasons, we've looked at each of the words that Jesus spoke from the cross as we find them recorded in the Gospels. Each of them except this one. Seven times Jesus spoke from the cross. The first was a word of mercy for his executioners. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The second was a word of salvation for a dying thief. "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The third, a word of farewell to his mother and friend. "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." The fourth was a cry of the anguish of hell, spoken to deliver sinners from it. My God, why have you forsaken me?" The fifth was a word of life to all who believe in him. "I thirst." Because in that word, Jesus showed that he had suffered the thirst of hell on behalf of sinners. The sixth was a word that indicated atonement for human sin had been made. He said, "It is finished." And then there's tonight's word from the cross, the words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." It was a word of victory for all the victims of death who put their trust in him. It was only 1 week from Palm Sunday to Easter. And when you consider all that happened in that 1 week, it seems much longer. A lot of history was packed into that short period of time. Tremendously significant history. Redemptive history, which long centuries had been yearning for, and from which all subsequent history and centuries were born. This was the turning point of history. It was the biggest week and the biggest year of our Lord Jesus. During that 1 week, Jesus Christ went all the way from extreme popularity to the other extreme of public contempt. When he entered Jerusalem on Sunday, the crowd shouted, "Hosanna." When he left on Friday, they shouted, "Crucify him." They gave him palms when he came in, but they gave him a cross when he went out. They called him a king when he entered, but they called him a criminal when he left. They offered him a crown of gold on Sunday, but on Friday, they gave him a crown of thorns. He could have Mount Zion at the beginning of the week, but at the end of it, he had Mount Calvary. No man in the history of the world ever received so much praise and so much blame in so short a time. And yet his last dying word was a word of victory, not defeat. He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Many of the words Jesus spoke from the cross were either the fulfillment of prophecy or direct quotations from the scripture. This last word falls into that latter category. It comes from Psalm 31, verse 5. "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth." Jesus' seventh word from the cross was indeed a word of victory, a final word before he died, which showed that death was not the victor. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." The seventh word from the cross demonstrates three things. First, it shows that Jesus was the master of his death on Good Friday. Look carefully at those words from verse 46. It says that Jesus cried out with a loud voice. This wasn't a whimper followed by his breathing his last. He still had the strength to utter those last words with power. And then, when he had said it, he gave up his spirit. He didn't just die. The other two men who were crucified with him, they simply expired. But not Jesus. In fact, the word translated, "he breathed his last," isn't the ordinary way to speak of death. Literally, it means he gave up his spirit. But it wasn't death that Jesus gave his spirit over to. He placed his spirit into the hands of his Father in heaven. That's very remarkable when you think about it. Jesus committing his spirit into the Father's hands. He had been forsaken by God the Father on the cross for the sake of sinners. He could no longer feel any of God's sweet presence that he had always been accustomed to walk in. He had cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He experienced the depths of hell on the cross and that terrible, horrid thirst that those in hell suffer. And yet, though he couldn't feel God's presence, he still trusted his spirit to the Father in heaven, whose plan it was that he should suffer these things. Long before Christ suffered, the patriarch Job had said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." What was true of Job was even more true of our Lord Jesus on the cross. While on the cross, Jesus didn't have the comfort or assurance or that sweet peace that comes from God, but still he trusted his heavenly Father. And how grateful we should be that he did. The Son of God endured on the cross all the punishment which sinners deserved to suffer throughout eternity. But it didn't break his trust in his Father in heaven, even when God turned his face away from the Son he loved. His giving up his spirit into the hands of the Father was an intentional act. Not one of the gospel writers says Jesus died. To say it like that would mean that death had conquered him. But that's not what happened. Maybe you remember Jesus' words from John chapter 10, 17 and 18. There we read, "The reason my Father loves me is that I laid down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." So you see, Jesus wasn't the victim of death. If he had been, then he would not have been able to say, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." He was the master of his death. Death couldn't come upon him until Jesus said it could. And friends, the fact that Jesus was the master of his death on Friday meant that he could also be the master of it on Sunday. He knew that when he gave his spirit to his Father, the Father would give it back to him on Easter. His resurrection from the grave may have been a surprise to a lot of people, but not to him. The Roman soldiers who guarded the tomb, the chief priests and the scribes, all his enemies were so shocked that they refused to believe it. Even his own followers, who were pleasantly surprised, found it hard to believe. They had to be given various proofs of it. But they could have known that it would happen if they were able to understand that shout of victory with which he died. No mere man ever died the way Jesus died. True, there have been many believers who at the time of their death have committed their spirits into the hands of the Father just like Jesus did. Some have used even the same words. Stephen in the book of Acts said similar words. But only Jesus died as the Son of God who had power over death itself. A second thing Jesus' seventh word from the cross should teach us is that the death of the body isn't the end of our existence before God. Many people in modern times seem to hold to a view that says the soul dies when the body dies. But if you take that view, it's a view that will fill your heart with sadness and despair. And Jesus' words demonstrate how false that view really is. He entrusted his soul, his spirit, into the hands of the Father. He knew that there, in his Father's presence, was life in the spirit, even apart from life in the body. And when we gather around the bed of a loved one who is on the brink of eternity, we shouldn't have any doubts about whether there's life on the other side. Jesus' words assure us that there is. And we might add here that Jesus' seventh cry from the cross confirms to us that Christ's descent into hell, which we confess in the Apostles' Creed, did indeed happen while he was on the cross and not after he died. He didn't die and then descend into the depths of hell and then become reunited with the Father and restored to the Father's favor. He placed his spirit in the Father's hands the moment he died. And he was in his Father's hands, not in hell. As he told the dying thief who believed in him, that very day he was in the paradise of God. Third, Christ's seventh word from the cross demonstrates that the power of sin, which is death, has been broken. You know, death is a terrible thing for the descendants of Adam. In the beginning, our father Adam was formed from the dust of the earth. And when he sinned, part of the curse that fell on him and his descendants was that we would turn back to dust. The dust would reclaim us. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return. Well, death would have reclaimed Jesus if Jesus' death had not been victory over sin. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, death has been swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that Jesus could say from the cross, it is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus took the sting out of death by conquering sin. He paid the full price demanded by the law for lawbreakers. His perfect life of obedience and the sacrifice of himself on the cross broke the power of sin. It couldn't condemn him because Jesus had fulfilled all that the law required. He was the spotless Lamb of God to the very end. And therefore, death, which would normally turn the children of Adam to dust, had no claim or power over Christ. And Jesus' victory is our victory. Paul writes in that same passage in 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' victory on the cross wasn't just his own personal victory, it's a victory that comes to every sinner who has faith in him. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, that person shares Jesus' victory over sin and death. Death can't have the victory over the one who believes in Jesus because Jesus has already won the victory over death by conquering sin. There's a story that illustrates that. Maybe some of you have heard it before. It's about two men who were duck hunting in the open grasslands of Georgia. And far away on the horizon, one of the men noticed a cloud of smoke. Soon they heard crackling, and as the wind shifted, they realized the terrible truth. A brush fire was advancing so quickly they wouldn't be able to outrun it. One of the men rifled through his pockets, and he soon found what he was looking for, a book of matches. And so he lit a small fire around the two of them. Soon they were standing in a circle of blackened earth, waiting for the fire to come. Well, they didn't have to wait long. They covered their mouths with handkerchiefs and they braced themselves for what they knew was to come. The fire came near and it swept over them, but they were completely unhurt. They were untouched. Fire could not pass where fire had already passed. And that's how it is for those of us who know Jesus Christ by faith. Because he endured death. Death cannot hurt those who believe in him. Christ's victory over sin and death on the cross belongs to all who are united by faith to him. The victory of the cross was definitely established by Jesus' seventh word. The question is, what will be our response to his words? There are three popular forms of response today. Some will refuse to hear him. They're the unbelievers who reject him. Others act like they do not hear him. They're the secularists who ignore him. And still others rejoice to hear him. They're the believers who accept him in faith. In the last analysis, there are only two possible responses to his word from the cross, not three. For those who ignore him are really in the same class as those who reject him. Jesus himself said, "He that is not for me is against me." And so the real question you must answer when you hear that last word from the cross is a choice between two alternatives: believe and live, or disbelieve and die. Our Lord Jesus gave his life so that we might live eternally. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Let us pray. Almighty God, the surest thing about life as we live it is death. But you have created us to live, not to die. We confess that we deserve the death penalty, for we have broken your law. And yet, we know that Christ has borne the penalty for us on the cross, that he has overcome death, and that he is the master of death. Grant us the same victory by faith in him. Give us the grace to commit our souls to his saving care, so that we may be with him more than conquerors while we live in this dark valley of death. And so that when the days of our years have run their course, we may be permitted to take his words on our lips and say victoriously, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In his name we pray. Amen.